I read the book of Zephaniah. We only have a few verses at the end of it. We're in chapter 3. We ended at verse 18 last time. Yes, Tammy?
I have an email.
Okay, go ahead.
This is from H.G. Williams, Dr. Williams.
Yes.
It says, Anna got an A+.
Oh, good. An A+ for regurgitating his words or spilling out or reminding, remembering. That's great, Anna. Very good. I thought it was good. A+. Well, thank you, Dr. Williams. Questions at bftpc.org or 856-261-9018. Let's hear what you have to say or comments or questions you might have. All right, in Zephaniah 3, and we stopped at verse 18 last time. Let's read 18, 19, and 20. 18, 19, and 20. Beginning of 18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was the burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that falleth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gathered you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. This is a picture of the near fulfillment when they go into captivity in Babylon, but come back out of captivity, and also fulfillment in the future fulfillment in the millennial reign of Christ when Israel will be gathered. And notice verse 18, I will gather them. Who's the them he's going to gather?
The Jews.
He's going to gather the Jews. And they're going to be in belief instead of unbelief this time, that are sorrowful, solemn assembly, that to whom the reproach was a burden. And notice, so what's he going to do in verse 19 to those that afflict the Jews? What does it mean to undo all that afflict them? What would that mean, undo?
Undo. It means undo.
What does it mean? What's the effect?
Cancel, I guess.
Take it away.
Take it away.
Get rid of.
Get rid of. Could be. Completely dismantle and take away all their schemes against the Jews.
Now for him to do this to the Jews, are the Jews going to have to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior?
Yes, I think if this is a future fulfillment of the millennial reign of Christ, they will.
That would be the deal then.
Yeah, they will accept him, that's right. But to undo their enemies, probably stop them, stop their hanky-panky against the Jews, they're saying.
And destroy them.
Destroy them, probably, undo them, and just to take away all their power against his people. Undo. It's a good word. Just like when you untie your shoes, you undo your shoes. They're ready to, they're no longer on your feet. You just let them go. Undo all that afflict thee. And I will save her that halt. What does it mean to halt?
Limp.
Are there people limping today even?
Yeah.
Yes, there are people who limp. And gather her that was driven out. So all there that halt. In other words, some of the people are old maybe. They're like the organist that's fall. It's all that halteth.
She was pretty sure-footed, Mrs. Paul.
Yeah. Yes. She had a trip.
Three ladies that came usually come to the Wednesday service. She's the most.
Yeah, she was the strongest.
Whatever the word, stable. Or she's really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised that she was the one that fell.
Did she stumble or did she just give way?
Well, Jeannie was saying sometimes when you have like the hip problem, you don't even realize it. You think you've fallen, but actually what's happened is the hip is given.
Oh, so your hip is actually starting to break. And
that's how you fall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I thought people would, as a result of the fall, but it's probably breaks.
Be prior. And they
prior.
Yeah, okay. that's what Jeannie was telling me.
I never thought of that before that way.
You know, like that when you're getting older and you're losing the bones.
And so that's why you fall, because the hip is begins to break. It begins to, okay.
Mm-hmm. A little bit strange if that happened, but anything that's possible. Yeah. Without glucosamine, anything is possible.
Maybe we'll get that theory verified.
You can get that. All right, Dr. Williams, another question. Not verified. When a woman falls down and breaks her hip, did she fall because the hip gave way and she fell, or did she broke the hip when she fell? What do you think the solution would be, Dr. Williams, if you want to call on that? You know our number, 856-261-9018.
And my question is, yes. If you've had like a hip replacement where they put that steel, would that
Did she have a hip replacement?
No.
But you're wanting another question. That was, if you have a hip replacement, that steel breaks, could that give way and you fall?
Well, I just figure maybe that's a reinforcement, and then it wouldn't happen.
And it wouldn't happen if I reinforced with a steel hip. Like I have my left hip, a real steel hip. All right, that's a big assignment. There are two big questions for Dr. Williams there tonight. There you go. Okay. Yeah. Hello, Dr. Williams.
Hi, Dr. Williams. Those are good questions everyone's asking.
Okay.
The osteoporosis that you're discussing, yes. I have had patients who would, for example, be standing at the sink washing dishes and twist sideways to pick up another pot or pan, and their hip will snap and they will fall after the hip is broken. Matter of fact, I had a lady by the name of Eugenia Leacock. I still remember her name. She's passed and gone now. But her husband caught her before she hit the floor even. So that was proof that the hip broke before she even hit the floor, and x-rays proved that. As a result of that, we started what we call the osteoporotic center there where I was practicing medicine and started what were some of the earliest to start treating osteoporosis. As far as the prosthetic elements placed in the hip, yes, they can snap also.
Good. Thank you very much, Dr. Williams. Appreciate
okay.
that. God bless.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very good. Well, absolutely, that was a good question, and he answered
it
fully.
Huh? Now I want to know when he developed this osteoporosis, and what the treatment was that he developed.
That'll be the third question. Maybe next week. Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
I hope Dr. Williams isn't going to bill you for each one of you.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't bill me either. I tell you, we always ask Dr. Williams about many things. About my tests, and he gives me tests. And I always like his rate of recompense. And very fine. But he could bill us for both these entries, as a lot of these doctors do, you know, when you call on the phone. Or a lawyer, every time you call him on the phone, so many tenths of an hour, so a couple hundred dollars an hour, right? So, Dr. Williams, send us your bill if there is one, and Bill, we'll see what he can do to take care of it. Pray for Bill. He's still out of work, out of a job, and they haven't recompensed him as far as the unemployment. So please continue to pray for Bill. So he's going to undo all that afflicting, save her that hauleth. Just trips around and not too stable, see. People with canes, sort of hauling along their canes. I'm glad for canes. Sometimes they really help it. Gather her that was driven out. And there are lots of people, the Jews, that are driven all over the world. And get them praise and fame in every land. Why will people praise the regenerated Israelites, do you think?
I think a lot of people are jealous of them.
All right.
Because when the Jews first started flooding that country and they started developing it, the land was desolate. And the Jews cultivated that land and they made it one of the most productive farming areas in the world. Today, plus all the technology and the science that they have advanced there. I think they're the envy of the Middle East. I think the all the Islamic world is jealous of them.
Yes, that's a good point. And God's going to exalt them even more so in this future fulfillment as well, in the fame in every land where they have been put to shame. To the people in this day that Zephaniah is writing, before the judgment, before they go into the Babylonian captivity, were the people shaming the Jews? They
yes.
certainly were. Do they shame them even some today?
Yes.
This George Soros is a Jew, and his mother's a Jew, and his mother, George Soros, is a multi-billionaire, several billions and billions and billions, giving everything to left-wing causes and revolutionists. He, as one of the men were saying, he's had four different nations he's helped to dissolve, just completely revolt with his billions and billions and billions. And his mother was a Jewess, and yet she was against the Jews. She's anti-Semitic, of course, so George Soros, anyway, but the Jews have a lot put to shame. A lot of people are shameful. And in fact, in Hitler's day, if you're a Jew, it's a very great shame. In fact, to the ovens with you, burn them up and kill them, along with the homosexuals and others that Hitler killed and slew. There's some Christians too, many Christians. Yes, Bill.
I forgot to mention the most important jealousy the world has against the Jews, that the Jews were God's chosen people.
Yeah, that's true. And also the Lord Jesus Christ himself was a Jew. And of course, the Romans slew him and hanged him on a tree. And of course, the Jews themselves said, let him be crucified. So they've been put to shame, they're going to be praised. Certainly in the millennial reign of Christ, that's going to be true. And at that time, what's he going to do in verse 20?
Bring them again.
Bring them again and gather them. What nations are the Jews in now? Just in the United States?
No.
All over the world. Are they always white in color?
No.
Some of them are black. Some of them are Negro features and so on. Jews all over the world. And the gathering is going to be a real something. They partially have been gathered in Israel in unbelief, but later it's going to be in belief. They're going to come back in swarms and droves. And I wonder what's going to happen to the Muslims that are right now occupying the land. What's going to happen when the Jews regather?
Going to be undone.
Going to be undone. I talk about undo. I'll undo them. That's right. They'll be completely vanquished. And of course, when the Lord Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, when all the people are trying to get at the Jews, he's going to slay them with the brightness of his coming and disperse them from the Battle of Armageddon. And then the Jewish people will have reigned over that whole land. And all the ones from north, south, east, and west will be put down and slain. And so I will gather them and make you a name. What does that mean, make you a name?
They'll be known, I guess.
I'm known? What else? What does it mean to make a name for someone?
Make a name for yourself.
What does it mean?
Become popular.
Popular? Be exalted? Some Mr. Big or Mrs. Big?
Renowned.
Renowned, that's right, renowned.
And they'll be loved.
Be loved?
Yeah, instead of, you know, hated as they are. Mm-hmm.
You'll get publicity.
Publicity? The scripture speaking at the name of Jesus. See, the power of the Lord. Every knee shall bow. That's right. And so they make him a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. So though they were in captivity, and they're going to go into captivity in about 20, 30 years, as Zephaniah is writing, into Babylon, they'd be there for how many years?
70 years.
All right, we're going to stop at Zephaniah and go on to Haggai, the next book right over there. Who was Haggai? Who did he write to? And when was his writing?
He's
an exilic. He was post-exilic or after the exile. He wrote after the exile. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi were after the exile. After they came back from the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, that's when they wrote. That's when he wrote here at Haggai. So it's important to see that. And about 520 BC or so, from Babylon, coming back all the way through here back to Israel, back in the Jerusalem area. And that took place 70 years after they were there in captivity. Let's read then chapter 1, 2, and verses 1, 2, and 3 of Haggai chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, first day of the month, came the word of the Lord for Haggai the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say that the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, All right, so this is the picture of the people after the exile. And the second year of Darius, who was the king before Darius?
Cyrus?
This was a whole new regime.
All right.
This is the Medo-Persian Empire.
Darius the Mede, that's right. And before that, Cyrus the Persian, was that what it was?
Unless they had a co.
Nebuchadnezzar was before.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar before that.
Belshazzar. Belshazzar with the handwriting on the wall. That was the Babylonian, last ruler of the Babylonian Empire.
Babylonian.
And then Cyrus. When he saw the handwriting in the wall, the Medo-Persian Temple, when Daniel the prophet came in and told him, you know, that our weight in the balance is found, the number divided. That very night is when the Medo-Persian armies came in and overthrew that government. It's a whole new regime with Darius and Cyrus.
Chapter 3 was a different king than chapter 6, wasn't it?
Yes.
Chapter 6, there was a different king.
Darius was a Mede?
Darius the Mede, like Mede Persians.
Persians.
Darius of the Mede. Uh-huh. Okay. Medes and the Persians. 6 months, first day of the month. How did Haggai get his message, according to verse 1?
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord. came with a problem. Now, when Gary Peterson wrote me that email and told me about this man who said that God revealed to him that night, is this going to happen, this going to happen? What do I think about that? First I just said, thank you for that, but then he wrote back and said, what do you think about that? I said, don't follow that man. The Lord doesn't reveal to men today what is going to happen in the future. See, he's not a prophet. So, but to Haggai, the prophet, that's where the Lord did reveal through the word what's going to happen.
Now, is Gary Peterson, is that Faith's husband?
Yes, that's Faith's husband, yes.
Okay.
That's right. So,
just making sure.
That's right, that's Gary, Faith's husband, that's correct. He's probably listening to us right tonight. Mm-hmm. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018, give us a call. Or simply give us an email. Then in verse number...
If you go back to Daniel's reference, Daniel chapter 5, the verse 25 is meaning meno tekli farsin, but then in going to verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old.
That's right. That's good. Eh? After the book of Daniel, gives you the history there and the succession. So the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel. Who is he?
He's now this king.
What was his office?
Descendant of Josiah.
What was his office? That's right. What? The governor of Judah. Okay. Governor of Judah, that is, he was in charge. And then who was the high priest?
Joshua, the son of Josedek.
Right, so Joshua was the high priest. So,
Josedek was the high priest.
Pardon me? Yeah, Anna?
Here's the bill. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
Thank you. Dr. Williams, that's his bill. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, heart, and mind. That's very good. That's his bill. Okay, we'll try to do that, every one of us. Let's do it. You understand, Zach, what that bill is? For the medical knowledge. Dr. Williams, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul, that's the bill.
No, Pastor Dan's daughter, she knows a lot about all this stuff because she's able to catch on because she was homeschooled and I was not.
She was homeschooled and you're not. How about that?
That's my problem, too.
That's your problem, too. You're not. Okay.
I got it. I got it
in
the public school.
Public school. Yeah, I was public school, too, so I don't know too much either. All right. So Zerubbabel was the governor and Joshua was the high priest. Now in verse number 2, again, the source of Haggai's ministry is who? What's the source?
The Lord.
The Lord of hosts speaking, saying, what did the people say? The people as they went back from 7 years of captivity, what was their attitude in verse 2?
Wasn't time
to do what? That's right.
To build the temple,
the Lord's house. Wasn't time. Do we ever say that?
Yes. Is the fire engine near us?
Oh, I don't know.
60 miles.
Hmm?
Sounds like
it's the siren from on the fire house.
Siren fire.
To assemble the firemen so they can go to the fire.
Sometimes do we say it's not time to do certain things, not to build a temple, but just it's not time, we just should wait and wait. Sometimes that's the way it is. Now, sometimes it's wise to wait. Sometimes it's not wise to just rush in. Fools rush in.
For
angels fear to tread. Now, whenever people apply that, right?
No, and you got to be careful. You don't want to rush in because you don't want to be caught in a snare.
That's exactly right. Haste makes
waste.
So we got to be very careful, very prayerful. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, time is not. But in verse number 3, what happened after the people were saying it's not time to build the Lord's house?
Then came the word of the Lord.
All right, after
the rebellion. And so if these people had not been rebellious, perhaps the prophet Haggai would not have had been instructed to write these words that we have tonight.
That's right.
People were rebellious.
They're rebellious, and the word came.
They were not thankful that they had been released from captivity, and they had no understanding, some of them had no understanding of what the function of the temple was or how the temple even looked prior to the captivity, because they were born in captivity. Some of them were.
That's right. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6.
Is it time
for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with hope. Let's stop right here, beginning of verse 4 next week, and when we'll have Julian and also Rob and all the rest of us to look at some of these verses together with us. Do you have any other comments or questions though before we close? Well, if not, let's close in with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for Zephaniah the prophet, faithfully revealing the future that thou hast for thy people Israel, and the future time when they shall be gathered, and people will praise them instead of curse them, and the Lord Jesus will be exalted instead of blasphemed. Thank thee for this prophet Haggai, who's prophesying after they came back from the 70 years of captivity, how their hearts were saddened, how they didn't want to do anything for the Lord. Here's a prophet that thou didst raise up. And we thank thee for the ministry of Haggai. We ask thee, Lord, as we look at it more to next Thursday night, that we may understand that it's not time to complain. It's always time to serve thee, to acceptably live for thee. And as Dr. Williams has said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. Guide us and direct us, bring us back safely on the Lord's day, and continue to bless and use us to glorify our Savior. Those of us who are saved, through any listening in our internet ministry or anyone else that can listen who's lost, may they come to Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I thank you for coming.
Thank you. One announcement we have.